Yeah, let's. Experiment today because we're gonna go. Yes, greetings in the name of the Most High. We're gonna go. Getting in there a little quicker, and just kind of like try to stay on message here, and not wander around and not waste your time or my time or our time. Quite a difference last time between different versions of the Bible, and I would just urge you to try to understand why. Something like that we would struggle with something like the King James Bible, even though it's more hassle, you know, with King's English and all that. But at the same time, you know, the meaning, the poetry, the urgency of that word, the context is so much more clear, you know. And so I just, you know, just in passing, I mean, do what you like to do, you know, read what you like to read, and if the old English is too much, or maybe the, you know. I don't know the other versions. I kind of like the there's an American Standard version. There's a New King James version. I'm not a big fan of that one though. You'll just have to find what works. But ultimately, it's what works. I mean, you know, I'm just a stickler for meaning. You know, like when they say something like the kingdom is within you. The kingdom is within you. You know what I mean? It's you don't want to mess around with that context or the context or the actual meaning of that phrase. You know, words like within. You know, words like you. John MacArthur interpreted it to be you meaning the body of Christ. And you does not mean the body of Christ in the context of Luke 17:21. It means you specifically. And then me specifically. And it makes sense because we understand there are certain things that when it starts becoming paradoxical, but it's still true, it's pointing more at the truth than ever before. So anyway, you know, that's fine for those people who want to be over the MacArthur thing. That's kind of dumbing down the spirit. That's fine. I appreciate the fact the man stands up for the rights of the church to worship and is not going to be bullied by the state of California. That I give the man kudos for. None of us is perfect. I mean, I'd be a mess if I had to lead a church. You know, I'd be probably crucified. You know, no, drawn and quartered. Anyway, the bottom line here is that we're a war baby, and so we got to continue this war thing. And they're promising you a very dark winter. Klaus Schwab and company have decided to go for the Great Reset now, so you are going to be in the crosshairs. I'm in the crosshairs. They want to take your bank accounts, your property, everything you've got, and force you into a dependency on the government and, you know, eradicate any kind of private property, private enterprise, private companies, blah, 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 blah. Except for people in the club. That would be... And there are many, many thousands and even millions of people in the club that will live lives live in their mansions with their security detail and their servants. Yes, they will continue on the child stars, the athletes, the movie stars, whatever. Although movie stars are being kind of diminished now with the theaters going away. But the heroes of the Vanity Fair writes about, they will be coddled into nice guys like George Clooney can sit there running his mouth all day long about what he thinks about politics. But no matter what he says, he'll have his nice, he'll place it down a capo. He'll have his, you know, his jets and his place at Lake Como in Italy, and he'll do. Don't worry about him; he's going to do just fine. So completely talentless. Oh man, no, it's okay. It's all right. I just sometimes have fun with that. You know, for me, the relationship with the word, writings, the arts, all that, trying to get three people to see something or read something and doing it, you know, in an honest way. Because had I taken the oath, which was offered to everybody, you know, I could maybe write mediocre stuff and they would still publish it and say it's fabulous. You know, because that's what they do. I remember they did a review of Michelle Obama. She was in some kind of weird, you know, her body, you know, I mean, it, obviously people think she's a man. Well, it looks like a man, you know, especially from the back. You know, the shoulders and the, you know, the contour of the, you know, the kind of V of the sides of the chest and the arms also, and neckline and neck to shoulder line and all that. So if you have an open back dress, you're going to see all that. And if you, you know, so they had a side-by-side photo of, like, Mike Tyson, who had a hugely built-up torso, and her from the back, and it was very similar. And they would say things like, this is the most beautiful woman in the world, and they would say amazing things about her. But the dresses that they put her in, like, for example, if I were the stylist, I would, you know, there would be no way that we would dress her like she was. These people are crazy. They try to dress her with the most unflattering things they can think of. And then I guess the game is you put her in something unflattering and then you say, oh, stunning beauty in Cosmopolitan or something like that. So all of that, you know, while you're looking at the mainstream media going, oh, they're all propaganda. How about all these fashion magazines? How about all publishing is owned by the AAC, baby, by the Antichrist. Anyway, so now it's the big global reset. Okay, so what the entertainers and the point I was trying to make is that, you know, you had a woman of great beauty in, you know, I mean, a real woman of great beauty in Melania Trump, who has been completely ignored and not on any fashion magazine, nothing, you know, a complete blackout on her the whole time. And people say that have really been experts on beauty and the women of the White House say that Melania is probably the most beautiful first lady that has ever been. I don't care whether you like, you know, the Donald's, you know, policies, you think he's a bully, you think he's just a big, brash, bloated oaf. I don't care what you think. I you know, have my view. I don't care if anyone likes him or hates him. The point I'm trying to make is that obviously she had something going for her close to the truth because of the blackout. So that's how I can tell that she's a real person. Anyway, so you see the two of them side by side, and you see the complete just hostile attack on Melania. Just the worst dress, the worst. What, you know, she's wearing these fantastic designer dresses and fantastic style. Her style is probably the best that we've ever seen in terms of, you know, the things she's put together. Not everything is stunning as the next, but, you know, she's hit the notes higher than anyone else in terms of style, in terms of just every aspect: hair, makeup, jewelry, clothing, shoes, bags, you know, all the things you get judged on, right? We're talking about competition here. Okay, so then they have how awful everything is when she's wearing this, like, you know, ridiculously amazing, you know, outfit, and they're tearing it apart. And then you see Michelle Obama in this terribly, you know, I guess it, you know, I was wondering who the stylists are, because it looked like they just go out of their way to not make her beautiful. You know what I mean? Because she could look, you know, with the right kinds of clothing and whatever, she could be, you know, she could be beautiful, of course. I'm not saying she's not doesn't have her looks or her. I think everyone can be beautiful with the right style. You know, I'm not talking about whether you like one or the other. You know, this is a difficult because we have politics as a thing that gets in the way. I'm just saying they're pushing her forward, and as anything she wears, like she'll wear some frumpy thing, you know, that just looks like a frumpy outfit that, you know what I mean, you know what I'm saying. And they say it's stunning. So I don't think she ever had the pressure to really be beautiful because the press always gave her this pass, and no matter what she wore, she's stunning, beautiful, unbelievable, best first lady ever, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you go, well, that's because she's black. And it's like, well, that's because she's a man and she's black. And that's the inside secret. The public doesn't really know that she's a man and she's black. But if she's a man and she's black, then she gets all the kudos because that's where the social engineering is going. Yes, up to the point of eugenics. Which does not include black people. Beautiful as they are. You see why I'm a little bit pissed, right? Everywhere I go, people are stupid. Anyway. No, I can't educate people about communism. I really can't. I can't teach them that that's what there's. They go, well, we're still in lockdown, and pretty soon we're going to turn the corner. And I'm like, you idiot, is there any way you could ever, in a million years, learn what's happening to you? Learn what they're, learn who they are and why they want to hurt you. Don't just say it's, you know, they can't blame, you know. They go, oh, you're a Trumpster if you're against the lockdown. I mean, I'm not a Trumpster. It's not even the lockdown. It's the thing behind it I'm trying to talk to you about. Nothing, right? Anybody home? No. The wheel's still spinning, the hamster's dead, right? It doesn't quite go up to the top, right? That was a couple floors, you know, shy of fries shy of a happy meal. It just is the way it is. There's just nothing I can do about it. It's been part of the sort of conditioning of people has been to dumb them down, has been to diseducate them. So I'm going to give you a real fast course of this that you could maybe use to, you know, help other people. The war is spiritual, as we know. And really, ultimately, and for those who know the Lord, who know Jesus, you know, because most people don't know Jesus. That's what I'm convinced. I mean, they're following Jesus. They say they, you know, but then, you know, they're not quite. Let's just put it this way. They're on the path of knowing Jesus. But they need to be like, you know, he's got to deal with them. Because Jesus reveals himself to each of us individually. I can't learn about Jesus by sitting in a classroom and have someone tell me about Jesus. I've done that. And I learned nothing. Whatever I came away with, whatever my concept was wrong. The only time that I learned about Jesus was this nonlinear sort of, this gnosis, knowledge, some kind of thing that happens to you. And all of a sudden, you know. Would that be a fair assessment, those of you who've been on the path for a while, for 70 years or whatever? Is that a fair assessment? It's Jesus happens to us. It's like a happening. It happens to us. The Jesus thing that goes on, it happens to us. And then we try to explain it, and we just can't really do it. You know, I want to explain it. I can't. I say, well, I prayed in Jesus' name, and I got a miracle. But that's not explaining anything. That miracle is going to happen anyway. The world says, whenever there's a miracle. So, you know, there's just nothing you can do. But anyway, the war is going to always be between ignorance and knowledge, yes, but it's between truth and lie. That's why it's Jesus versus world. And all things that have to do with God go into the Jesus column. right? Anything that has people that are godly, you know what I mean? They may not know what you know, or your knowledge may be different. All that goes into the Jesus column. Anyone spiritual, godly, you know who they are. They're just, it doesn't matter what culture they're in, what continent they're on, what religious, dominant religious system that they have, which is really the old political systems are all religious. So they are discounted as a result. But you know the godly people. So they're there. And then, you know, the satanic mind, you know, the mind of communism, first of all, it's hierarchical. It's all about order. It's all about control. It's all about rank, staying in your lane. You know, there's no freedom, obviously. Any kind of religion is the worship of the state, but that's really, the state is Satan. And they know this going in because every one of them to the ballot counter, okay, we just had this fraud, the likes of which no one's ever seen before. I've never seen anything like it before. So in your face. And just from the knowledge that I looked at, it was the most fraudulent. I mean, it's like, it's a no-brainer that, you know, and even if I hated Trump, and I'm not happy with a lot of things he's done, I mean, he's made some epic, stupid mistakes, terrible. So I wouldn't say a fan, I'd say he's kind of got a, like a little bit of a mixed, you know, review. Some things okay, some things not okay. So I'm not the big fan, I'm not the guy waving the flag right there, okay? So, but I will say this about the election, that he won a landslide. And that is absolute truth. There is no way to refute that. There is no way to actually, you know, you could use the numbers that are there right now, and it will tell you the exact same thing. And that Biden was juiced with votes in pretty much every precinct in America, you know, that use those machines, plus all the obvious ones, the swing states. But, I mean, it was like millions and millions and millions of votes difference. It wasn't even close. And if you think that Biden could get, even though with Trump haters maybe, to get that many people to the polls, more than any other president has ever gotten in the history of elections, you're out of your mind. It didn't happen. He lost. He lost straight up. That's the actual answer. There's no debate on that. There is no, there are people that are brainwashed by the media to think that there was no fraud. It was the cleanest election of all time. Well, it was like other elections we've had. We've had many fraudulent elections. Here in New Mexico, they're always fraud. They use Dominion machines, and everyone we have is fraudulent. What happens, the same thing happened in California, it all goes to the left, right? And left is traditionally the side of Satan. I'm not saying anything nice about the right. I mean, the right, I hate Republicans, and I hate Democrats, and I hate everybody pretty much, you know, involved in politics. You know, there are, you know, I'd say three quarters of the Republican Party has taken the oath to Lucifer, if not more. There's only a small handful, and they're looked at as fools and losers. They're laughed at. They're laughed at. They're laughed behind when they turn their back, the people laugh. Because the press insults them. You know, it is what it is, but I'm trying to be kind of like a little bit neutral here looking at it. I'm just saying, objectively speaking, you know, it's not even about the election. It's about the Great Reset. But the election, the participants in the vote fraud, all have taken the oath to Lucifer. All are in the club. So that proved my... The point I'm trying to make here is it proved my point about the distribution of people in our society that look the other way on things like eugenics, human trafficking, child sex trafficking, pedophilia, prostitution, you know, sex slaves, et cetera, soldiers, child soldiers, organ trafficking, and all the rest of it, that all the people involved in all of it. And I was telling the story about Queensryche, and I got, maybe not here, I'm actually confused is what I've said here. I said, tried to do another podcast, but it didn't really work out. I forget what I was saying about Queensryche. Was I saying that this time? I can't remember. Anyway, so So just try to give you some words of coping here. Jesus is going to intervene. And I heard this word. It was a word of prophecy from, I don't think it was from, I think the Greek Orthodox Church, from a prophet that the priest was reading. And I forget his name now. It's okay. I may go look it up and say it, but it talks about this time now that's not the end, but it's before the end. And it's a time where we get to a great conflict on the earth. And this is really what I want to talk about. That we're coming into not just an inflection point, but a great battle upon the earth, unlike the world has ever seen. But it won't be the end. And he said at that time, Jesus intercedes. And then after that, it goes, you know, there is peace. There is a new wave of prosperity, not prosperity, but innovation, technology that brings a greater wealth, that brings a peace, I don't mean the word wealth, that's a kind of a misnomer. What I mean is a society that, you know, technically we don't need to work that many hours to be able to provide for our families. You know what I mean? It's way out of whack compared to what it could be, what it should be. You know, more along the lines, more on the way to that sort of thing. What the communists promise you but never deliver on, you know, Jesus delivers on. So it's not just for that intercession. It continues beyond that in a blessing that is, you know, you could call it a time of peace, a time of prosperity and peace and innovation, et cetera. And the reason that how I've come to agree with that prophet, that word, and then it was, Pia that said it, thank you, is because I've been saying something similar about a wall and hitting it on the other side of that wall, there is peace. And Govinda agreed with that one, you know. So I only mention it because we're kind of establishing. We're kind of like, you know, finding our way in the dark here, right? And we're establishing this prophetic understanding about where we are, because where we are right now is not anywhere like where we've never been in a place like this before. So it must be very scary to some people, not knowing what's going to happen, thinking the government's going to take care of them. Listen. This woman here, she is the type. There's a funny musical thing they made for her, where they're mocking her openly and doing. They're going to write a play about her. And she's going to be the American Evita. She really is. You wait. They're going to mythologize her because she is such a Marie Antoinette. She is so far beyond guys like Newsom and Cuomo and all those and Whitmer. She blows them all away in her like love of jewelry and, you know, putting people out in the wind and the snow. You know, old people shivering and starving. And we've actually had food lines here in New Mexico. And anyway, she takes her orders from the Chi-Coms. You know, she doesn't take. You know, from the same place Gavin Newsom takes his orders, or Cuomo, or any of them. It's from the global communist movement, and that's why she locks down. And they use the fake tracing, the PCR test. That's fake. Don't ever rely on that test. It gives you lots of false positives. And then, you know, and then she moves people around the hospitals. This Presbyterian hospital over here, near us, near Cerritos, and I guess the eye of what turns into Cerritos in the I-25 area. There's a hospital there. And it's empty. And they were, oh, there's not one more bed. And I'm like, the lights aren't even on. There's like a helicopter parked in front of it. No cars. A few in the parking lot. Look up in the windows. They're like empty. Nothing up there going on. Not lit, nothing. The hallway's, you know, empty. And so you look at that and you go, yeah, you know, she fits right in, just, you know, lying to the people, and it's terrible. And then, of course, you know, the more draconian plan she has, which is rounding up the homeless, taking them for their own safety, taking them to shelters. Well, you know what happens there, right? I mean, I don't need to spell that out for you. You've ever heard the term death camp? But there's a Nazi component to all this. Yeah, I hope you keep that in your mind. You know, Sieg Heil, the final solution. And Wilhelm, it's the injection, yeah? Yes, the injection. We put the injection in, and that sets them up. Anyone we don't like, we push a button, and the nanobots zap them and give them a heart attack instantly, and no one will ever figure out that we did it. Like a cartoon, yeah? So there's that Nazi component. That's where Davos comes from. That's where the elites at the World Bank come from. That's where it all comes from, like, you know, this sort of, you know, German, Austrian, Swiss sort of cabal of evil, you know. Same thing you said, well, that's where the Illuminati came from. Well, yeah, that's where Hitler came from. And that's where the whole Nazi movement that was fueled by Rockefeller and money and fueled by, all this other stuff. That's what they call the, you know, what was it? The Lucis Trust, the Lucifer Trust. Okay, the Lucis Trust, and there are companies like Lucid, the corporate combines that run the world. All their symbology and all their stuff goes to the dark occult. And those symbols belong to Nazism. We use quite a few of them, like the swastika and others. You know, borrowed from European spiritualism that was popular in the 1920s, getting, you know, everything they could learn from Tibet. And getting that whole idea of remote viewing and enhancing their spell casting and, you know, whatever else. You know, they put the world is under the spell they feel they're going to collect. But see, there's a big surprise coming. Yes, Jesus will intercede in, I don't know when, but I mean, it's looking like they could just go ahead and just waltz on in here. Tell you all you're going to have to be locked down in mass forever. While in China, remember in China now, they're dancing up a storm in Wuhan. They're, the discos are open, theaters are open, rides are open at Disneyland. There's no distancing, masks, nothing. They are going full broke because they believe they won the war. So they're celebrating. You didn't even know you were in a war, did you? I mean, you kind of did, but you weren't sure if it was the pandemic or... it's not the pandemic. They used COVID, you know, for the communist takeover and, you know, to beat you. They're keeping Europe and here locked down to train you. They're whooping it up and, pretty soon you're going to see them whooping it up in all throughout Asia. They'll be dancing up a storm. They'll be kung fu fighting, da-da-da, dancing up a storm. And man, you know, they got shots lined up at the bar. I got a video of it. I got, you know, Wuhan. They're, you know, they're totally dressed to the nines and they're going crazy. They're making up for lost time. They are partying right now. But you're going for another lockdown. They didn't even get it that bad. You're going for another one. They call it a dark winter, where you really don't get out, ever. The dark winter means this next lockdown, no one's going to take it away. You're going to stay there. That's called the starvation lockdown. That's the Joseph Stalin playbook. When you can't break a people, you take the food away, and you know, you see how quickly they comply. Red Dawn happened. They invaded. The proof is the lockdowns. And then, of course, the next thing is they start coming in here, setting up their camps and their re-education centers. And, you know, they just figure you're going to just sit there and take it. Like Red Dawn, mostly, you know, the younger people were the ones that fought back, not the older people. They just kind of did what they're told. They wound up in concentration camps. They don't have a future with you in it here. They don't have a future in Europe with you guys and your Europeans. They intend to move there too. It's going to be a Chinese-run world. I mean, that's exactly, you know, based on the credit score and the big tech and everybody is going to really, you know, bow down to their system. And see, this nation faces not just the Chi-Coms as the enemy, but, you know, the Davos, the World Economic Forum, the global technocracy and the global corporatocracy of the interlocking multinational corporations. All the money in the world is on them. They own it all. They own everything. And we're just sitting here, the last little rebel. Us and, I guess, mainland of Europe and us. The last little holdout. Got to punish them. You wait. More and more is going to be open. Canada will be open next. You're all going to be open. Mexico, everybody. But not you in the USA. No, you need to be made an example of. Because you had Trump, a nationalist. That is a big no-no. So therefore, you stay locked down. And everybody else, let them party. And then let you get upset when you see them returning to normal. And that's the whole reason of keeping your jobs away. So you become dependent. You know, the jobs are not coming back. So that's the end of that. Luhan Grisham, I've never seen anyone so happy as when they would tell her the jobs were all crushed in New Mexico. She goes, that's just a Republican talking point. When confronted that she ruined the economy, which she started with a $1.8 billion surplus left by Susana Martinez. And she went through that now. She has to be bailed out by Xi, you know, basically, and the Chi-Coms, because America can't bail her out. And eventually she's going to have to tell people she's run out of food, she's run out of money, she's run out of workers, she can't pay the workers. She blew through it all because she's like Marie Antoinette. Let them eat cake. She just feels she has an unlimited budget for her jewelry, and for I'm sure she's got her special interests that pay her, and she loves jewelry. That's her thing. She loves jewelry. The more jewelry, she's obsessed with jewelry. So that's what you've got here. Anyway, so coping. Okay. So how am I going to handle it? Being, you know, my age, my orientation, my understanding of the world, which is pretty clear. You know, there are people that actually shake their heads and write me off as knowing nothing. And when I see their posts and things, I realize they're not educated. They don't know. They're trying to pretend like they are. It takes a lot more than just posting articles to be, you know, you have to be able to speak that truth and walk that truth. And I'm sorry, but a lot of the concepts, a lot of the stories that are told, if they're not told with, you know, in devotion to the Almighty God in some way, or the person is not somehow enlightened by the Almighty God, it just seems to be a love letter from man to man, it winds up falling short in some way. So I kind of agree with this thing. There will be a, you know, great, right now there's a great conflict of keeping people locked down. And the governors are having a harder time. They say, if you keep them locked down, we will reward you on the other side of this thing. They get a big reward, right, from the Chinese communists. They'll get a big reward from the UN and from the World Economic Forum. They'll get a big reward from the guys that actually run the New World Order. Okay. So that's why they do it, and that's why you're locked out. Now, some people actually still believe that they're locked down because there's a big new wave of the pandemic, and they got to wear the mask inside, some of them think, and they really have to follow the rules exactly to learn, because this is really, really completely real. And that's fine if they believe that. You know, I mean, you know, they don't have to listen to this. I don't think it's unreal. I think the disease is, there's a disease, and it can't, you know, it's very low on the scale of diseases. But yes, it can. If you're in bad health, it can kill you, sure. Nobody ever said there was no disease. All anybody said was, you know, and this is about as harmful as a cold, unless it becomes the pneumonia of, you know, SARS-CoV-2. And, you know, now there's a, you know, I haven't talked about the vaccine today. I'm just talking about this war that's coming. Because Biden was talking about the dark winter. That means the transition from, I guess, capitalism to communism over to the, you know, the other side, just like the transition from Biden to Harris. Kamala Harris is a big-time communist, so she'll definitely want to go full commie and deference and bowing down to the UN and so forth and, you know, taking our punishment. And then after that, you know, dividing up the economy and the jobs and things for the people who've been loyal to the party. And they're looking for compliant people, obviously, and they're looking to, you know, ultimately destroy Christians, anyone that believes in stories of the Bible or believes in conservative politics or whatever it is they believe in that's anathema. They will, you know, any true communist knows they have to go after all that and stop it. There can only be one, you know, party, one race, one thing of people, one communist, you know, flag. And that's the way they roll. So this is, these people all, none of the people that you see during the lockdowns would actually be in the future anyone you would see. They will live behind gates and mansions, and they will they'll be paid for the rest of their lives for the work they did now in handing it over. That would make them guilty of treason and traitors, and they would, in a normal world, they would be strung up and hung, yeah, or, you know, executed in some way. Well, it's not a good sign that they're not prosecuted. It means that the victory is way more in the hands of the enemy than we ever even thought it was. That's why Trump can't make a move, because the military won't listen to him. No one will listen to him. So no one, whatever order he gives out, they just start laughing. They don't listen. It's come to this now. I almost think, you know, he tried. He got rolled. He wasn't, you know, the brightest guy, you know, in terms of knowing how evil the evil could be, knowing what treachery could really be like. He didn't know that. But, you know, he'll probably, some think he'll fight on, others think he'll go home. I don't know. I kind of think you can't really go home, though, because if you let them win and then let the cheat stay, you have, the country's gone. I mean, that's the end of that for the rest of you. At that point, we could all get together, sing Kumbaya, and say, stick a fork in it, right? Just say, you know, tomorrow, you know, today I live, today I drink, tomorrow I die. Amen? There really is nothing after that, though. There would be, and some people know this, they're actually smart enough, prescient enough, to figure out that if it goes that way and they let this massive, insane vote for this, like, you know, now they're blowing up buildings with data centers with actual voting information in there to not get caught. I mean, this is what kind of organization could just bomb something with, you know, and then the FBI covers it up, of course. Well, we got a guy. Nobody listens to the FBI anymore. That's the biggest joke organization there is. Anyway, their job is to cover up the RV bombing. Let's talk about that for a second. That's a data center, an AT&T data center, and that data center has the info from the voting, probably nationwide. That's one of the funneling points of all the data. Okay, so that's a... Yeah, well, it definitely has Georgia, for sure. It's got everything. So they're trying to blow it up. They also had the airspace blocked overhead because they thought that a plane would bomb them or a plane would try to crash into the place in order to cause an emergency so that one of their guys could get up there in the emergency, a first responder, and then get the data, scrub the server, get the data, and get the hell out of there. That's the whole point. You heard it here first. I'd be shocked if my fellow broadcasters aren't all saying the exact same thing. Shocked. I know they are. So I don't have to be shocked today. And now you're starting to see other attacks. Wherever there are data centers, watch for data centers. Data centers where there are server farms. That's what they're going after to try to wipe out the evidence. Because they're afraid, it looks like, Trump is going to push it to next week and the week after, and there's no stopping it. It's he's gonna go as far as he could go. They're worried about getting caught. They thought he would just leave. And the facts of life have been rolled out. You could leave. It's peaceful. No more lockdowns. And but you'd have no countries there. So whatever he's done wrong in the past, and I mean, he got rolled with the medical thing. He should never, you know, I don't know. He just doesn't know anything about anything. He's absolutely locking down the country, handing it over to Fauci. That was probably one of the biggest blunders I have ever seen in the history of all things. And so I'm sorry. Or, you know, warp speed on the vaccines, which played right into their hands with a nanobot. You know, we didn't know it was going to be nanobot. We thought it was going to be the other, but no, it makes sense. This digital technology is going to be much faster to create and program. Yeah, they have to program the chemical to react in your system to go after the cell. And then it goes in and rewrites the DNA with the M message, the M part of the mRNA, right, goes into the cell. And it grows a protein spike. And that protein spike's not supposed to be there in your body. So then you form antibodies to go after that. And if it is a SARS-CoV-2 protein spike, which it is, then it will go after all of the SARS-CoV-2 in your system. And that's how the mRNA works. You know, I probably butchered it in some way, but that's from a layman speaking here. That's how it works. This one gal, I found evidence that she died, the nurse who fainted. And they all say that was refuted. I went and looked at the actual the death notice. And lo and behold, that was her age and that was her name. And her middle name, it had everything. That was her. So I looked at that online. That was actually, you know, not something someone made up or did in Photoshop. Unless they went and changed the database. I mean, I guess they could have done that. Anyway, let's say she did die. I get the impression she died right when she fainted. You can see her faint. It looks to me like she's dying. It doesn't look like a faint. It looks like she's gone. All right. Well, what I'm going to do now is basically let it go at that. I'm not, you know, again, I got to do these for shorter periods of time. This is about 45 minutes. And what we're doing is just kind of focusing on the one issue right now is going to be the, you know, what's going to happen with the vote. It was the largest vote criminal attack, I think, on this country in the history of the country. So, and everybody saw it. I don't think there's anyone I know, Republican or Democrat, that doesn't admit that it went on. The Democrats just want to win. They just want to get rid of Trump, and they want, you know, their way of life in. And a lot of them are not looking at the bigger picture, that the fraud hurts both parties, obviously, equally. And, you know, it should just go to whoever won fair and square. They really ought to just adjudicate the whole thing to restore some kind of confidence in the Republic. Otherwise, can you imagine, you know, half the country is ungovernable. It's in a complete state of chaos. It's all Biden's fault. And they don't have Trump to whip anymore. Can you imagine having orders barked at you to stay home? It's for your own safety by Kamala Harris barking at you. Now, that's not the point. The point is that if they seat Biden and they agree, the senators, the Supreme Court, who knows the evidence is all real, they know it is. That's why they don't want to look at it. They don't want to even get, if it could be messed around with, they could have let it in the door and then dismissed it. But they know they can't, so they don't want to see it in the first place. It shows they're guilty. Guilty, guilty, guilty. And it stinks to high heaven because Trump was one that fought for them to get them in there on the bench. They turn around with a nice big knife. How many people killed Julius Caesar this time? A two, Brute. We got, you know, McConnell in the Senate. We got the whole Congress. We've got, you know, we've got the basically the attorney generals, all of them. We've got the entire Justice Department, knife in the back. We have the entire, all of Hollywood, knife in the back. All the media. Lie, knife in the back. The whole republic has been taken down to, like, not even a thread. All to get Trump? Or is it all because they had a bigger question and they used him as a scapegoat? They had a bigger agenda. Sure looks that way. Knowing they could just blame it on Trump and then bring in the thing that they really wanted here, which is a totalitarian police state of communism, to bring it in and then ram it down your throat and have you stay home forever until they say you could go out. Keeping you under house arrest. The most immoral thing. Now listen, understand, I'm a man without a country. This country is, I mean, if someone wants to fight, I'll be happy to fight alongside, but it's at this point, it's a complete, total fraud joke. I would never participate in anything again, ever. I just want out. I'm living here, but if this is going to be a contentious place where they're going to start killing people for just existing, I want out. It's a lost cause. It fell. Or has it? If you take the cheat and you say, you're going to all have to eat that shit sandwich and live with that and look the other way, the most important communist thing you could do, look the other way. That's the whole Communist Manifesto. You teach people to look the other way on genocide and eugenics. In exchange, you take care of them. You give them a job, a little income, something, to get them used to the idea of covering. Once they've done that, they take their Luciferian initiation. Then it's complete. Don't you see how... I live in... It's worse than Disneyland here. It's like living in some place where they don't know anything. They can't even tie their shoes anymore. They don't know anything. They're so stupid all day long. All day long, people yapping this up and yapping that up while the house is burning out of control. All day long, small talk. Well, I'm doing it too. I'm guilty. Because it's just a game I can't win. Because no matter how much small talk I make, the house is still on fire. It's going to burn to the ground. And I'm going to be out there, you know, as a target. And, you know, just for existing. And it's going to be all on, you know, my execution would probably be, you know, just a little bit of a down payment for all the atrocities that have been done by man since the beginning of time. No, you say communists, they go, oh, you're a Trump supporter. Not really. I'm simply supporting the rule of law, and whoever won that thing fair and square should be the one seated, that's all. If you seat the lie when everyone knows it, you're in for the whirlwind and total hell. It will be hell, and it'll make World War I and World War II look like a cakewalk. You have no idea. You can't just have that stench come down of everyone knowing. No conspiracy theory. Now they're trying to say, if you believe there was any fraud in the vote, it's a conspiracy. Of course they're saying that. But the proof is there. It's everywhere. Just take the number of votes cast. Okay, start with that. Okay, is there something wrong with that? Yes. Okay, then now go to the next thing. And pretty soon, the picture is painted. Just saying it was the most clean election of all time, just saying that, brainwashing yourself with that, doesn't mean it's true. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows, and most everybody, even the little people, were all doing their part because they're all initiated into it. They're all welcoming in the global overthrow. They're working for that. They've all been paid off. McConnell, all those guys are paid off. The worst guy, Lindsey Graham's hiding under his bed yet because he doesn't want you to know he's a bad guy. Paid off. And all the Democrats are paid off. And all the Republicans are paid off. Every last one of them. You maybe have three that are, you know, straight up in true blue, but that's about it. When you had Rand Paul and I know their names, so I don't. I mean, Rand Paul, you know, struck, you know, the Pauls strike me as, you know, good eggs, you know, good, you know, decent people, but not much else. So this was a fait accompli, you know, this was already in place. And you guys, we didn't even know, we weren't even talking, I was kind of warning about it, but not like I should be, you know, I didn't predict they were going to have this vote before. I did predict that they were going to put Biden in there by hook or by crook. I never thought Biden could win based on just the crowd sizes. Because I use common sense, that's right. I can see that, hey, there's three people here. There's, you know, a million over there. It looks like this one over here is more popular with a million than this one over here that's got three. So I think one plus one is two, yeah? Oh, it was a landslide. More votes than any presidential candidate has ever gotten in the history of the Republic. More votes than anyone. More votes than Barack Obama, who was one of the most popular voted in presidents of all time. Trump, too. More votes than he had gotten in 2016. By, I think, like around a 10 million vote margin. I could be wrong on that fact. You know, just sorry if I am, you know, I'm just whatever, some million, some 3 million, 10 million, I don't know, something. So, logically, you know, basically, Trump won. I mean, my take on it is, and I've tried to be as unbiased as really possible, because I am not, believe me, I don't want your politics here. I don't want anything to do with you, okay? I want you to survive as a human being and to find peace and to find love and happiness, okay? And it'd be great if there was a way to do that in this republic. But I think there's been so many haters of this thing, so many people that are spoiled, rotten to the core people that just trashed this place, took it for granted, that I don't know there's a way to get the republic back. I don't know. Obviously, gathering in the streets so far hasn't done any good, really. You'd have to have, you know, 100 million people in the street. I don't know if that's going to be, you know, you'd have to have everyone participate. I don't know at this stage. I don't know. I know when Venezuela fell, they never got out of it. That's how strong it is. They never got out of it. It's really sad, Venezuela, because, you know, that was a place that was kind of like the United States. Venezuela, Caracas, Venezuela. They were completely flush with money. I knew a guy, dad worked in the oil business, and we were friends, and he was very, you know, he graduated the university there, and he was very, you know, he was working in the same business, and he was very, very, very wealthy. It was amazing. I just said, where are your wealth come from? It's like oil. Oil in Venezuela is a tremendous source of income, and most people there were upper middle class. There wasn't like a lower middle class. There wasn't like a lot of poor people. It was like an upper middle class society. It was a cosmopolitan place. Like Caracas was visited by everybody all over the world. And I guess it was kind of like, you know, how Havana was looked at before Cuba. And, you know, and they targeted, you know, and they won by rigging elections, obviously. And you know, it's been that way ever since. You know, they have an iron grip on that place. See, when you're dealing with communism, you're not just dealing with one guy. You're dealing with a whole group of people. You're dealing with Klaus, you know, a trillionaire kind of guy at Davos. You're dealing with the UN, right, that's openly, now pretty much openly communist. You're dealing with, you know, global leaders around the world. You're dealing with the heads of corporations in countries like Xi of China and all the entire Chinese economy and output. You know, that's all bringing to bear on a place like Venezuela, that they all want to keep the same, you see. If you like Venezuela, you'll love what America's going to look like, because America's going to be even more Venezuela than Venezuela. That is the plan. So, I don't know, kids. I don't have any faith in the kids. I don't think the kids are going to get it. I really don't. Well, I'd put it this way. Would be America worth, would it be worth going to war, fighting, and dying for? Absolutely, because freedom is worth fighting and dying for. Because it's so rare in this world. I just don't know how many. I know there's, you know, I know we have a lot of praying people. We got a great remnant, you know. I was probably not correct. I thought there were an awful lot of people that were in the club, and I used to tell people, it's the guy next to you, it's, you know, here, it's, you know, everywhere all the time. Remember, I'd be telling you about the numbers of people, and I'd see it down here, I'd see it in the school, I'd see it over at the, you know, it just seemed like all the kids everywhere were indoctrinated into it, and they were all, you know, going to these universities and, you know, becoming indoctrinated further, and they're taking positions in society to further this movement. What is the movement? What is the thing that they had to do to be initiated? What did they have to do? I don't mean the actual act, but I mean the thing they had to do. What had to happen to them? They had to take a pledge to Lucifer. Yes, absolutely. You know, just like to God. But they left any hope of individuality and their own desire. What they had to do is become this part of a collective where each person is like a kind of a hive mind zombie doing their, you know, doing what they're programmed to do for the good of the whole. You know, so it's kind of got this sort of beehive mentality. And they agree to take that on and do well. Not everybody does well in it. Not everyone's meant to be that kind of person. But that's the initiation is, you know, you give your heart, mind, and soul to the state. And then the state is a mythical thing. It could be the state means over the entire earth or entire galaxy or the entire universe, wherever they exist. Okay, so, you know, I've been waiting and waiting to hear people talk about the lockdowns, and they're just not. I've been waiting and waiting for people to tell anyone in New Mexico, hey, fella, come on over here. Let me tell you something. Now, what do you think of what's happening? Do you mind if I tell you what it really is? You don't want to know. I don't blame you. Go ahead and put your head back. Yeah, there you go. Perfect fit, too. So, the plan. And the solace I can give you is, you know, the we have to become much stronger prayer warriors because we can't accept this. And I'm sorry for my own negativity of saying I'm done with it. I don't, you know, I'm angry. I'm, you know, disgusted with what my fellow man has done to himself and to us and to me and to you. I feel we've been hurt real bad. They hurt us bad, man. I don't want to accept that. I'm only going to accept victory because I'm a child of the Most High God. So I'm programmed, if you will, through prayer, through growth, through whatever, through God himself, to speak victory, to be victory. And not those times, that's the time, you know, you wait to see what we got in store for you. Yeah. So take anything you want. Take it all. Kill me. I don't care. I'm a child of the Most High God. Whatever God has in store for me, that's going to be good enough for me. That is the attitude, the winning attitude right there. You've got to get beyond that guy. What are they going to do to me? Well, I don't care what you're going to do to me because my Bible which I believe a lot more than you, tells me, you know, don't be afraid of the guy that can kill you or take away what you've got. You know, be afraid of the one who can take your soul, who can destroy your soul. That's the Lord. I fear the Lord. I don't fear any man. I don't fear. I believe that anything is possible, and I do believe that Jesus will intervene. And what does that mean exactly? Well, this was a prophecy that we heard, but it just means it's the hand of God intervening. There will be a great shakeup and change, and I believe that that will probably happen. I can even put a time on it. That's coming from me from this end, but 2025. Somehow I keep getting 2025 is what this thing is over. And that new thing kind of begins, you know, that's, I know it's a long way to go. We're not even to 2021, 22, 23, 20, oh, wow. Yeah. Now, I think that word that was, that they were speaking had to do with the belief that Jesus would come, would intervene before things got too far, before things were all ruined and destroyed. So. And with that, I bid you shalom, and I hope you enjoy that. I'm going to be back, you know, I'm going to try to be like a roving reporter here and do some interesting things with interviews and interesting things with my microphone and try to you know, shake it up and be a little more creative with it and, you know, and then bring you in on some of the other things I'm doing. We do have we know there's going to be a film industry going still, right? People are going to be probably watching more than ever, so we have something coming out on that front. But we have some other things to entertain you with during this time of craziness, because we are dealing with the quantum realm. As I mentioned yesterday, I think that we're doing stories in the quantum realm and the fight over it. And I think you're going to really relate to it as an escape. You know, that's all. I'm working on escapist entertainment. Yes. Escape, dealing with the quantum realm. So, right, dumb people need not apply. You have to be pretty smart to figure. But, you know, there's a lot of sci-fi fans, a lot of people out there that, you know, are already dealing with the quantum realm. Super soldiers, quantum realm, quantum application of medicine and, you know, computing and just about every avenue. So we're dealing with that, and we just think that that's a, you know, he who controls the quantum realm controls the world. The race is on, and it's undecided right now. And, of course, look what part of the world CERN is in. Yes, yes, CERN. Boy, they're smart. They're smart. Boy, oh boy, are they smart. So we're going to bring you some, you know, a different kind of thing, because I feel like my job is to entertain you at this point. I, you know, kind of like we're the death camp, right? We're the camps. And we put on, I'm going to be producing the skits we put on. You know, we put a skit on, right, on the stage to take your mind off your miseries. But I want to deal with the quantum realm, because I think God is going to inform us about this quantum realm. Well, I'd like to answer the question, what's the Mandela effect? How about this one? You know, are we clones? Or are we the real original copy? And other sundry topics. And with that, I will bid you shalom and see you next time.
You said if he ever finds out what we've done to him, he'll kill us all. You don't remember saying that. Tied to your friend. people are drinking.
We're drowning.
But it won't go away.
Never.
The millstone is around your neck. And you are drowning in the sea. As it should be.
A troubled child who meant you no harm. Who meant you no ill will. Who just wanted to be your friend.
You all passed me around like I was the assignment. It's over to Brian.
It's like the Everyday Truman Show.
And Dusty.
John Petty.
Steve.
Gary. Miller. Big Charles. Mike. James.
And so now,
Sandy.
I figure.
Lewis
is dead. He drove his van into a tail on the Pacific Coast Highway.
Claudia.
I should tell you the reason you're so unhappy.
Brooke. Suicide. But it didn't work, bitch.
You're dumb to not God. It would be better if a millstone were tied about your neck
and left me completely destitute.
And you were drowned at the bottom of the sea as it should.